Okay, hi. Thank you very much for this invitation, and I especially would like to thank Jaroslav and Gabriele for inviting me to speak here. I'm going to talk about work I did for the last 2 years with Stefan Heuenecker. It has appeared two months ago, and actually there's some ongoing work with him to be published. So the talk is about monotremy relations from in string theory. I mean monotremy relations following from the string worldsheet in order to set up the stage and to make you understand what we mean by that is let's just repeat what happens at tree level. So we scatter n open strings at tree level, then we have the interacting worldsheet is the upper half complex half plane, and then all open strings are inserted by vertex operators along this boundary, so there's a natural ordering. And then any of these open string amplitudes for which you have a conformal field theory description behind can be put in this form. So there's this integration along the boundary of this worldsheet. And then there's, of course, kinematical factors. And to each kinematical factor, a priori, there's some weight factor. This is a differences of vertex operator positions, and then there's some integers dictated from your underlying conformal field theory. And most importantly, there's also some factor which has real exponents. So these real exponents are related to the external momenta of your string states, and that's also where alpha prime enters. So this is a factor which causes branch cuts and will be relevant for the following discussion. So what do we mean by monotremy relations? So let's consider the object from before. And so this is an integration over all n vertex operator positions. We might just pick out one, for example, C1, and consider the integrand as a holomorphic analytic function in C1, and then treat the C1 integration in the complex C1 plane and perform some analytic continuation by considering a well-defined monotremy cycle or well-defined contour. So what this means here is that C1 should always be smaller than all other vertex operator positions. So strictly speaking, we should only integrate from minus infinity to C2. So these are all other n minus 1 vertex operator positions. And then from this integration, we just get this piece. So how shall we choose, or how do we choose a well-defined contour? Of course, here the integrand has branch points, so we should avoid them. So we choose some counter such that we avoid them with this half semicircles and consider the single valued integrand. Then from here to here, we just have flipped the ordering. We'll pick up this sub-color ordered sub-amplitude and so forth. There's no contribution when we perform this counter to infinite simply because this function behaves as ci to the minus 2 times the conformal weight of the ith vertex operator, and the conformal weight is for massless states 1, so there's no residuum from infinite. So by that we can state, so there's no contribution from infinite, by that we can state the following so-called monotremy relation at tree level. So here are these branch points, and what is important for the discussion at higher loop is that these branch points have branch cuts, and you're completely free to place them. So you could also just place them in that way. And whenever you cross these branch cuts, you will pick up phases. So we will again cut these branch cuts at infinite, but at infinite, all these phases multiply to 1, so there's no phase to be written. And furthermore, at infinite, we don't get any contribution, so that's everything is fine. But you should keep in mind this picture that we have not only these branch points, but also these branch cuts. And only if you understand this concept, you should tackle the one-loop case or the higher-loop case. because this is really crucial. So these relations are quite nice, because first of all, we have just used worksheet techniques, so no target space, underlying target space is used. And we just have, we have not even talked or restricted to some kinematical factors. It holds for any kinematic factors, for any external string states, bosons or fermions in any dimension, for any amount of supersymmetry. So these are really very powerful relations. And we can now see what these relations mean in field theory. So we take the alpha prime goes to zero limit. So remember from my definition of this Mandelstam or kinematic invariance SHA, so there's an alpha prime inside here. So you expand it, you get to leading order, you get these two terms, you get a real part and an imaginary part. And then you can see what this expansion does in your monotomy relation. The first relation just gives you the famous Kleiskopf relations. And in the second relation, you get this by now famous BCJ relation. So you get this relation. But historically, these relations were conjectured in 2008 by Bernd Carrasco Johansen, just based or imposing color kinematics duality. And then 2009, these relations were proven by this method in string theory. And I think this is one of the few examples where perturbative string theory really gives you something new for super young Mills theory. Actually, I did this work 2009 at the KTP workshop. So just to complete the discussion at tree level, so you have lots of these equations, I mean, but not only the field theory relation, but also this full-fledged string relation. And we only have considered a complex contour integral with respect to the C1 position. We, of course, could have chosen any of the positions, and we would get permutations of this equation, so we would we'll get a large set of equations. And this set of equations allows you to introduce a minimal basis of subamplitudes. That's written down here for the four-point scattering case, I mean four strings. So here you can express everything in terms of all subamplitudes in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how they're going to look like. Of course, you're from BCJ, you know the field theory expressions, then this just becomes U over T, S over T. So the general result is that this monotomy relation allow you to introduce a minimal basis of n minus 3 factorial of subamplitude. And this was new at that time, so it was not known from field theory. So that's a nice proof from string theory. Now this is by now quite older, and now let's move on to a natural question: is what happens if you discuss such, or if you seek for similar relations at higher loop string amplitudes or for higher loop string amplitudes, and then what kind of type of relations they might first give you for field theory, and secondly, what kind of relations you should expect or you should get in superstring theory. And there are a lot of other questions which I want to discuss in my concluding remarks, which will follow from in the course of my talk. So first of all, to start with, this is the endpoint one loop open string amplitude in string theory or just the in super young Mills theory. Actually, this color decomposition for super young Mills can be nicely derived from open string, from considering an open string world sheet. So this is an open string building a loop, and then you have vertex operators insertion at the two boundaries, and this gives you just if you have insertions on both boundaries, this gives you the non-planar contribution, and the only thing thing which refers to my own definition here, or our own definition, is that this slash here, which denotes or divides the species sitting on one boundary and from the other species sitting on the other boundary. So the remaining part of the formula should be pretty well known to you. So now to start with one loop open strings, we consider this cylinder diagram, which of course, I mean, Riemann surfaces with boundaries follow from compact Riemann surfaces without boundaries by involutions. So here you get the cylinder from a C2 involution from the torus, and this is what is left over from the torus. So you have start with a torus with complex structure modulus tau, and you have only half of the fundamental region left over. Here are the two boundaries of the cylinder, and you identify these two lines to get the cylinder. So here, this, for the non-planar case, you have one set of vertex operator insertion, and the other set is sitting here. I should say here that we are working in the so-called closed string channel, which doesn't mean that we have closed strings here. It's still completely, we still concentrate on completely in open strings. But this is the so-called closed string channel where you, so tau tilde is the complex structure modulus of the open string world sheet, and you can perform a modular transformation by considering 1 over tau tilde, and then tau is the corresponding complex structure of the resulting torus. And this simply is more convenient because in that case the Bosonic-Green's functions are just harmonic functions of theta functions. Remember, when you work in the open string channel, there are also non-harmonic pieces here, non-harmonic and non-holomorphic pieces. So this is very convenient when you discuss this monotromy relations, because then we have essentially holomorphic functions here, which is of course important to when you discuss contours in the complex plane. So then the generic one-loop planar amplitude endpoint takes a similar form as a tree level, so this is a generic form. There's now, again, integrations over vertex operator positions, and there's the generalization of the tree-level Kuban-Nielsen factor, where now this Green's function enters. So if you would take CJI, which is a difference, CJ minus CI, to be just CJ minus TI, you would just get the tree-level result, which is just taking tau to infinite from here. And then there's some additional C-dependent factor, which just comes from your underlying conformal field theory. So these are just polynomials with integer powers in the position Ci and Cn. So there are not any monodromies coming from these factors. The monodromies, again, following from this factor, because here we have, again, this real numbers. And that's precisely now what we want to study. Just like in the tree-level case, what happens if we move a certain positions along the boundary of the Riemann surface, which is now along this rectangle. For that, we have to know that this theta functions entering in the Green's function have some periodic properties, which are more involved when you are no longer on the compact Riemann surface, like in that case on the torus. So being on the torus would mean that you just shift by one period tau, which means epsilon 1 is 2 and epsilon 2 is 2. But now we have half, we have epsilon 1 equal to 1, because we can only shift one position by half a period. And that has a consequence that we will pick up lots of phases when we do only this half shift, which is the only possible shift on the cylinder. I mean, that's almost identical. I mean, this is the A cycle of the torus, which is just shifting by 1. So this survives the projection when going from the torus to the cylinder. So there's not much happening here, but I have to say that is IP pi, that's why I wrote in red, is very crucial for these monotromy relations. That will actually, so that means when you move from here to here, that means from this boundary to this boundary, you might be careful that some things from here don't cancel anymore against this boundary piece. Because this is, of course, when we discuss monotony cycles along this boundary, so that is, of course, what we would like to happen, that this part from here cancel against those parts, because we only have a clear definition of an amplitude when the points are sitting here or here, I mean, then we have some planar amplitude. So to go into a bit more detail, let's just discuss the case with four external open string states. And like in the three-level case, we consider analytic continuation with respect to the position of the first open string, so it's x1. So we choose, or we seek for a counter. So this is a complex x1 plane. And now we choose a counter, which is the red one, such that we can go along this counter and close it and integrate along a single valued function. So this is the red counter we want to discuss. Again, let me make clear now, and then now it becomes obvious why I have stressed it for the three-level case so much, that there are branch points here from the vert when the x1 position crosses the vertex operator, the other vertex operators. So there are also branch cuts. Again, you could now place these branch cuts in the way you want, inside the fundamental region of the torus. So you can also could place them with an angle. But that means when you start from here, moving your first vertex operator position, you will hit this branch cuts again. And this is this will have crucial consequences. So what we are doing now is this is now just to make it better from a pedagogical point of view, to make it more clear what is going on here. We can divide this red counter into sub pieces, and then the contribution from those pieces cancel, and we just consider the individual integrants of the amplitude and integrate along single valued functions here, and take into account that there are phases from here. So what this integrants look like is, and this is just the same picture, and here we have, this is of course nothing else, the integrant, what we get from here, integrating x1 from here to here, we just get the integrant of the planar one loop amplitude 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth. While from here we should get integrating x1 from here to here, this should of course correspond to the non-planar amplitude where x1, one gluon or one open string is on the other side. Just for completeness, so this is the integrant of the planar four-point amplitude. I mean, this should remind you. Let me also say that this can be written as some iterated integral. And this is our object here. I have already warned you that we will pick up phases from when we move one point from here to here. This is exactly this position-dependent phase, which emerges from this Green's function having not completely periodic boundary conditions. So this is quite new, and this is actually does not allow us to in any way to relate this object in a simple way to the full-fledged open string non-planar amplitude. That's why we put a tilde here, because there's still this position-dependent phase factor. The other thing, of course, you might also remember that the non-planar amplitude has this theta 4 in addition with respect to those position, which is on the other side of the boundary, which is in that case is just 1. So it's just for completeness, these are the integrants with respect to that we only integrate with respect to the positions, but we still have the integration left over the modular parameter of the cylinder, which is essentially the Schwinger proper time. So now you can sum up all your contributions you got from that. I told you already that contributions from these pieces cancel, and actually in that case all the contributions from this boundary and that boundary cancel. And then you can state your monotomy relation, then they hold for the integrand, but we can, after integrating, they also hold for the full-fledged one-loop amplitude. So this is, these are the planar amplitudes. So this was the planar amplitude we have started with. And then there's this so-called non-planar part, but this tilde amplitude also contains this position-dependent phase factor. And the generalization to arbitrary number of external open strings is completely straightforward. You can find it in our paper. And let me just stress that these phase factors are crucial. They just come because we hit this branch cuts on the second boundary. We can also do it for starting with a so-called double non-planar amplitude. So we have two open strings on one boundary and the other two on the other boundary. So then we have this picture. So we have x1 and x2. x1 integrated from here to here gives exactly this non-planar amplitude. And then the other two are on this side of the boundary. Now the branch cuts are structure is completely different than from the picture before. You see that the branch cuts are starting from here and moving away to the boundary of the fundamental region of the torus. So that means when you go here along a monodromy cycle, you will hit much fewer branch cuts than before. That is why here you see, first of all, that means some integration from here to here, where you don't hit the branch cuts, can be put together, and so you will find fewer terms in your monodromy relations, because you can define a different amplitude. And secondly, you will find also fewer phases, because you don't hit these branch cuts. But what is crucial here is that, in that case, the contribution from here and from here don't cancel each other anymore, and you will also find this so-called boundary term, which means that we have x3 and x4 here, and x2 here, and integrate x1 from here to here. So this has a completely different structure, also from elliptic functions point of view, than in this full-fledged amplitudes. So, and actually, this, you might convince yourself that this boundary term is crucial in order to make this, or in order to make this to a valid monodromy relation, because you might know that because of the tadpole, this double non-planar amplitude has this behavior, where Q is just the Fourier mode of the theta function, so Q is e to the 2 pi I tau. And this guy doesn't have this tadpole. Actually, you can look it up in the old Green-Schwarz paper on superstring four-point amplitudes. So you need some pieces where this tadpole is canceled, and that can only come from this boundary term. So this boundary term exactly also has this term, so it will be canceled against this. And again, here the generalization to endpoint is straightforward. You can just look it up in our paper. Again, now, what do we get for field theory from these relations? So again, we do that field theory limit means that we expand this with respect to alpha prime. So there we had this exponential e to the 2 pi sij with Mandelstams, and we get a real part and imaginary part. So the real part gives you, as in the three-level case, something which was already known, namely that when you, from the first monodromy relation I showed you, which involves only the planar, as in the single planar, non-planar amplitude, you get this relation between single non-planar amplitude and planar amplitudes, and for the relation I have just shown you before, the boundary term cancels in this limit. You have the double non-planar amplitude related to the planar amplitude in the following way, and these relations are known since a long time by when they have been derived for any endpoint open string amplitudes by Bernd Dixon, Dunbar, Kosova. So these are kind of KK-like relations, or just like the real part relation we have seen at three-level, on three-level monodromy relations. But there's also relations from imaginary part, which I will show you in, later on in my talk, so-called BCJ-like relations, which involve also SIJ, SIJ scalar products. As I said, we have the complete set of monotromy relations at one loop, actually also at higher loop, and now you can do various checks to check whether they are right or whether they are correct. Because, I mean, there are some surprising effects happening, like that you have this additional position-dependent phases, you have these boundary terms, and so on, so you maybe should do some checks. And you can do what we did before, you can do a field theory limit, but not only look at the field theory leading contribution, but also sub-leading contributions. And then the field theory limit, that is the limit where you encounter non-analytic terms and you have branch cuts in the kinematic invariant. That's exactly where you get your old n equals 4 super Young-Mills result by Brink, Green, and Schwarz. So that is we have seen before the field theory limit, but we have also the next leading order computed, which confirms the validity of our monotromy relations, and I will show you what we will get, what kind of relations we will get from this. Secondly, for finite tau, you don't have to bother about these non-analytic terms, you just have regular holomorphic terms, and you can perform an alpha prime expansion, just very similar like in the three-level case, because then you have just the regular poles from the OPEs of the vertex operators. And so you have this Kober-Nielsen factors with the Green's function, you can just expand with respect to small alpha prime and you get these objects. You might remember that these Green's functions involve the theta functions and you have integrals, you integrate along the boundary of the position. So this is, will lead to iterated integrals of elliptic polylogarithm, so-called elliptic iterated integrals. So you have this kind of forms with where omega now is generic Lie family of one forms on the once punctured elliptic curve. And so the typical case of omega one was just the Green's function over the planar case. And you can integrate them over the A and B cycle, and this will lead to Enrique's A elliptic multiple theta values and elliptic B multiple theta values respectively. And this program has been initiated for the planar amplitude by Brödel et al. In this work, and then for the first time for the non-planar amplitude, we have done it in our work just to perform this checks. And last week there was a work again by Brödel and et al. Also concerned with the non-planar amplitude. So, more precisely, here we expanded up to alpha linear order in alpha prime, and they also derived alpha prime squared and alpha prime cubed. So let me just make an example how this looks like. This is a non-planar amplitude. So it's given by some integral over the world sheet tau of the underlying cylinder and some form factors which are the elliptic iterated integrals over this Green's function. So these are the Green's function which can be which are expressed in terms of elliptic multiple polylogarithm, and then you do this expansion, so you get lots of these Green's functions, and then I just integrated one for you, I mean, which is after fixing one position, this one, and then you get this nice Q expansion up to the this is the linear order in alpha prime. And then after performing all these integrals, you put it together and you get this form factor for this function here. So you see there is a non-trivial Q expansion here. And then you can imagine that probing the monotromy relations with such kind of expressions gives quite non-trivial tests because you have here arbitrary high orders in Q. And of course, you have also to do it for the other non-planar amplitudes and so on that you can find out in our paper, and also moreover for this boundary term. Now let me come to what I have promised you already: what we get for field theory when we look at the next leading order, so let me just focus on the simple monotremy relation, which involves the planar one loop amplitude at string theory, and then this kind of non-planar amplitude where the tilde again means that we have some position-dependent phase factor. So what this expression gives us when we expand with respect to alpha prime, the leading piece of this is of this planar one-loop amplitude is just the planar Enninger's four Young-Mills amplitude. This is just the Green-Schwarz-Spring result. And then the more interesting object comes from here. So this is this tilde amplitude, which also carries this position-dependent phase factor. So it gives two terms. So we will be especially interested in the second term, which we just didn't define in the following way. So the three-level, the leading piece from this amplitude conspires together with this piece, and actually it gives a planar Enninger's four super Young-Mills amplitude. It's a non-planar Enninger's four super Young-Mills amplitude, and that is exactly why you recover at the leading order the famous Bern Dixon Dunbar et al. And Kosova relations. But so we are interested in this piece here. So how does this piece look like? Now this piece can be written in the following way with a additional form factor, and this form factor can be written in terms of Feynman parametrization, so the eta i or Feynman parameters in the following way, and actually in that case we can explicitly perform this integral and obtain this result. So this is in contrast to the leading piece where we just get some log expansion in log s log u for the leading Enninger's four super Young-Mills one loop result. And so what, of course, this is now just the form factor for this term here, which emerges from this term here. So we need all the form factors from this two. So that we have done here. So we have two more form factors, which essentially can be obtained by permuting labels from the previous integral. And then when you look at the next leading contribution of your monotremy relation, which is just the imaginary part relation, you will find this relation here. So this is a new relation, which in terms of the form factors just means this relation. And this we want now to understand what this relation means in field theory. So this relation, as I said, let me repeat, we get by free from considering this string monotremy relation, just in the same way as we got BCJ relations from the three-level monotremy relations. So for that, we consider this box diagram with momentum insertion. So this is a loop momentum L, scalar product, some external momentum of particle I. So this is L in the numerator. And again, we can express this in terms of Feynman parameters, and then we get this expression here. This might remind you already very much to what we have seen or what we have obtained from our string computation. You know, it takes just a particular form, which just corresponds to a particular choice of this index I. So more precisely, so I can express all these form factors here in terms of this box diagrams, but actually there are some additional terms, namely there's these box diagrams with momentum insertion in the numerator, but there are also the pure box diagrams. And then I can express them in terms of triangle diagrams. Actually, so this is a definition of the triangle diagram. And then I find sort of nicer relation, which expresses this results purely in terms of triangles. And now I can see our relation found from string theory, in what relation it turns in field theory. So it just turns into this identity between triangle graphs. So now what does this relation mean? This relation is actually a rather trivial relation, or it's should be pretty known to you. So here I write it again in terms of box diagrams. This is just the integrated version of this integrand relation found by Boyles et al. So this is an integrand relation for the box diagram. This is the integrand of the box diagram. And there are some, it's the same way as before, some momentum insertion in the numerator. So this is loop momentum L times K1. This is an integrand relation. And then you integrate it, you just get what we have found from string theory. So in other words, string theory just gives you this kind of integrand relation in a very, very straightforward way. Okay, this is what we get for field theory. Let me now go back to string theory, because this is what I find nowadays especially interesting, is that we have encountered this strange non-planar amplitudes, in my notation A tilde, which was just the one loop planar, non-planar amplitude, but it has this additional position dependent phase factor. And now we have an interpretation for this A tilde amplitude, or this non-planar amplitude, namely when we discuss non-commutativity in open strings. So the typical setup we have is that we have, for example, some gauge theory on a D-brain world volume. So it's a DT brain, and we might turn on some flux, two-form flux. So it's the two-form flux of the closed string, which is associated to the anti-symmetric tensor field. Of course, we also have a metric for a closed string metric. And this two-form flux automatically incorporates a two-form flux for the open string on the deep brain world volume, which is given by this formula. And also the metric for the open string, the metric seen by the open string has a different form than the closed string metric. And this is all well known this results by Seibeck and Witten from 1999. But what is important is that the open string ending on the open string world volume are now non-commutative. So they have fulfilled this non-commutative relation. In fact, first question you might ask, how do the gluon amplitudes or the amplitudes change in that case? So this is a three-level field theory amplitude, endpoint field theory amplitude. They will receive this additional factor, which involves the so-called star product. So the star product of two external momenta is this matrix multiplication versus non-commutativity of the tensor for the open string enters. Now, next question is how do this formula look like? So this is field theory for the open string one loop case. This has been computed by Liu and Michelson 2001. So this is a non-planar one-loop open string amplitude in a non-commutative background. So you will have this additional factor. I didn't read it before, but you saw in my slide, you also have to exchange the ordinary scalar product in the so-called dot product, which involves the non-commutative theta parameter. And so you have now this phase factor again, which to some extent is reminiscent from the three-level result. But there's also this additional factor here, which involves the so-called non-planar momentum, K is just the sum of momenta on one boundary. Actually, in our case, since we discussed this case, we have just K1, and then K1 with this anti-symmetric matrix is just zero, so this factor will be one. But now what we want, remember that we have to deal with our A tilde one loop amplitude, which has this position dependent phase factor. So the first thing you might realize now that there's again a position dependent phase factor. So we just equate it to the phase factor we have in our tilde amplitude, and this is the equation we have to solve. And so this yields this equation, and we find a solution to this equation in terms of, so the question is, what is the non-commutative background? So for a choice of light-light momentum, K1, and we just choose a flat open string metric, we find this non-commutative background on the dp prime world volume. So this is a p plus one dimensional matrix, and this is, the theta is completely arbitrary. Okay, my final slide now is on monotomy relations at higher loop. So we also can also find monotomy relations at higher loop in our paper, and they are much more involved. And again, here, this alignment of, or this choice of branch cuts is very crucial. So let me just flash what you find, for example, for the case when we have four boundaries, which comes from a Riemann, compact Riemann surfaces of genus 3 by C2 involution, then you get these four boundaries. And then the B cycle of your Riemann surface, genus 3 Riemann surface, I mean, you don't have any more B cycle on this surface with boundaries. So this was B cycle, this is the leftover of the B cycle. You see already now that there's a P1, there's a certain choice of how you choose the P, this so-called base point. And now you can consider amplitudes, for example. We start again that we have all positions on one boundary, so the boundary alpha 1. So C1, C2, C3 is here, then integrating C1 just along here up to here gives this term here. But now we can again transport. Of course, first of all, we have to introduce some in the complex C1 plane, we have to introduce some well-defined contour and integrate over some single-valued integrand. If you do this, we split, as I showed you in the planar monotomy relation, we can split the integration region into several subparts, which are these green regions, and then we sum up everything what we get from this region. But so the crucial point again is here, there's this branch cuts, and now you can choose them again in different ways. And here we have just choose them that they end on the other boundary. So that means when you integrate along here, you will again pick up phases, and you will then get a particular monotomy relation which involves just this other boundary here. So you get here sub-amplitudes where this other position is just sitting on this boundary, and the other boundaries, the contribution from the other boundaries just cancel each other. So the other boundaries don't take part in this monotremie relations. So you could also have chosen this branch cuts differently such that they end on this, and then of course this one would refer to the other boundary. Now let me come to my conclusions. So the blue, what is written in blue is what we have accomplished. The part in red is what is in progress and what are natural regressions. So we have found the correct monotomy relation for endpoint open string amplitude at G loop and with arbitrary boundaries. In particular, we have found that there are additional boundary terms, and by boundaries in quotation marks, because this is a boundary which you don't see when you get the cylinder from the torus. It is just where you glue together the cylinder, which, so it was formerly a boundary from the fundamental region of the torus, but it's a piece which is glued together, so that's why it's in quotation marks. But this gives new effects which are not a priori pure open string amplitudes. So there are additional boundary terms which are important, we have seen, to cancel tadpoles in the monotremie relations. We have also, for the non-planar amplitude, for the first time performed expansion in terms of elliptic multiple theta values, so they involve also the B cycle. And we have given an interpretation in terms of non scattering non-commutative background for the new objects we have found. Now, there are several questions we are asking at or working on at the moment. And I mean, as when you study KLT at tree level, string tree level, I mean, it's crucial to find a minimal basis for your monotromy problem. And so we have, so the monotromy relations are crucial for finding this basis at tree level. And so the monotromy relations at one loop or at higher loop, they are the key players now for also discussing KLT at higher loops. And in contrast to what Mike has said, and I think also other Oliver will say today, is by that we mean really full-fledged KLT relations that including both analytic terms and non-analytic terms. I mean, this is full-fledged string KLT. And natural question is also, so at tree level we have found a basis of n minus 3 factorial subamplitudes, which was new for the tree level community. And now, what is the basis of independent subamplitudes at one and higher loops? This is, of course, much more tricky answer now because we have this we have this additional position-dependent phase factors in the non-planar amplitudes, which somehow should be eliminated, or should at least get some interpretation. But it's very feasible that this additional phase factor will give some to some might be, I mean, those amplitude might be eliminated, and then you can still again find the independent subamplitudes. And furthermore, there is this boundary terms, and when you look at monotromy relations for mixed tree-level amplitudes, that this was a part of my subject of amplitudes conference last year at Stockholm, then you have might remember that you get also additional boundary terms when you look at monotromy relations for mixed amplitudes at tree level. And this additional boundary terms is also has not a clear interpretation in terms of a pure amplitude, just in the same way as these boundary terms here. So it might be possible that when you include all the closed strings in the monotromy relation that you might get an interpretation for these boundary terms. Because there's clearly something, because there's tadpole, so this tadpole is clearly related to a Dilaton exchange, so closed string exchanges in string theory, so that signals that probably closed string should also be included. And so that's it.
Thank you for this very nice talk. Are there questions or comments?
Yeah, I just wonder about the gauge anomaly in 10 dimension. How does it show up here? And I mean, is it?
Yeah, it's.
Does it have anything to do with the boundary term, I guess?
Yeah. It should be related to the boundary term, yeah.
Does it mean that the boundary term
cancels? It's the closed string pole, which.
Does it mean that term cancels out when you pick the right gauge group?
No, I don't think so, because you might ask similar whether this boundary term cancels out if you include additions and Möbius contribution, to which then cylinder plus Möbius cancels the tadpoles, I mean plus Klein bottle. But it will not, because it might cancel at leading order, but I mean the Möbius diagram has completely different Q expansion with half integer numbers, so it cannot cancel at higher orders in Q. But it's a very good question, because we also thought at the beginning when we had these boundary terms that maybe we need to add additional Möbius contributions to cancel it, but it's not possible in full-fledged string relations.
Okay. More questions? Actually, I want. So you presented this relation between triangles.
Mm-hmm.
So this was for 4 points, coming
yeah.
from 4 points.
Yeah.
Do you have similar relations for higher points? What do you expect?
Yeah, there should be similar relations, but I didn't I mean, we didn't look further into the field theory relations, in the field
okay.
theory papers,
mm-hmm.
whether this relation exists.
Okay.
I think they, yeah, probably there are similar relations
okay.
emerging.
More questions? Okay, I don't see any, so let's thank Stefan again.